Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the creator has allowed us to come before you another day to bring to you his holy, great, and exalted words, even the words of truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth, for Yah ordained me to tell you the truth. So this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king. He's our judge. He's our lawgiver. And Yah is our only savior, and not just of Israel. Yah is the savior of the world. And I praise Almighty Yah for giving me another opportunity to come before you this day. For truly his mercy endure forever. Again, we're dealing with what we have been dealing with the last couple of days, and that is the reflections, our reflections, or reflections of the end. And why? As we brought to you the last few days, better it is in the end of a thing than the beginning. And we brought out various scriptures to demonstrate things that will happen in the end. Things that you won't hear from other people. Things that other people can't tell you concerning the end. But we're bringing it to you on nothing but the truth. And it's important to know these things, because it is the end. Who don't want to know the end of a thing? Who don't want to know the end of a matter? Well, undoubtedly, our people do not. The Creator himself said, our people consider not their latter end. And you'll read this in the book of Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, where the Creator said this. But this is exactly what we want to do. We want to consider our latter end. Oftentimes people running a race, they start off like gangbusters. They look strong. They look fast. They look like they might win. But then all of a sudden, they begin to wane. They lose strength. They lose their speed. And then in the end, although they went out first, they end up last. And this is many of our people today. Where they started off real strong, and you've seen them for years, keeping the Sabbath day. Keeping the covenants of Yahweh. Teaching that Yahweh is our only Savior. And that we must keep his laws, commandments, statutes, and judgment. But then, as the war waged on, they learned very quickly, race is not to the swift. Nor the power to the strong. But it's always to the one who can endure to the end. And we're reflecting on the end. Yesterday I brought to your attention concerning what is recorded in the book of Malachi, the fourth chapter, where it says, where Yahweh said he will return Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of Yahweh. We know this dreadful day is coming. So we know whenever it is to arrive, what first must come is this Elijah, or the Elijah the prophet. How will he be manifested? How will he come? And how will we know? First of all, the only people that's going to know is the righteous anyway. They're the only ones that's observing the very signs and wonders of the Most High. And if you knew and you understood and you had a great understanding of Elijah of old, then it's not even a question whether this Elijah have been manifested today. I may add, there's some that might think I was speaking of myself, and I was not. Let me be very crystal clear. I'm no Elijah by no stretch of the imagination. Not at all. But if you know Elijah, you would know whether he came or not. In the New Testament, they tell you John the Baptist was Elijah. And we know this was a total lie. John the Baptist did nothing that Elijah did. And I mean absolutely nothing. He didn't have Elijah's spirit, nor did he do his works. And what is the works that Elijah was to do in the last days? Turn the heart of the father to the children and the heart of the children to the father. In Hebrew, it won't say fathers or children. It won't say neither one of those. It will tell you, it will turn the heart of the father to the son, and the son's heart to his father. And there's only one father, as we pointed out yesterday. Yahweh wanted our heart to be with. It is only one that he wanted his heart to be with, and that's his son. And he wanted his son's heart with him. There's a scripture where Yahweh said, only I wish they had a heart to serve me always. We'll find that for you. But let me show you this Elijah, because some of you all may not know this man. Y'all hear the name, but you really don't know the man. And you don't know his spirit, and you don't know what he was brought here to do. You don't know his ministry and what he was known and famous for. But let me show you a couple things. First of all, in the book of 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. And why are we speaking about this? Because this is something that is supposed to happen in the end of times. This is supposed to happen in the last days. This is supposed to happen before the great and terrible day of Yah. This is supposed to happen. This is the one who's supposed to prepare the way. And let's see what it says in the book of 1 Kings 17 chapter. And we're going to start at the 17th verse. And this is what it says. And it came to pass after these things, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of Elohim? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. Took him out of her bosom, carried him up into a loft where he abode, laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto Yahweh and said, O Yahweh, my Elohim, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto Yahweh and said, O Yahweh, my Elohim, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And Yahweh heard the voice of Elijah. And the soul of the child came into him again. And he revived. And Elijah took the child, brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this, I know that thou art a man of Elohim, and that the word of Yahweh is in thy mouth, and the word of Yahweh in thy mouth is truth. You understand? Now you see what this man was all about. Even before then, let me show you what he had to do. In the 8th verse. And the word of Yah came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as Yahweh thy Elohim liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. In other words, this woman was already ready and prepared for death. She thought that her and her son, this was going to be their last meal. But Yahweh sent Elijah the prophet. And what did he do? Watch what it says. For thus says Yah Elohim of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that Yahweh sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of Yah, which he spake by Elijah. So here it is, the first two things that Elijah would do is to deliver lives, to restore life. One, he let the widow woman know that she wasn't going to die, but according to the word of Yahweh, because she hearkened to him, she was restored. Her faith was restored. Her life also was restored because she thought she was going to die. And then when her son did die, it was the prophet Elijah who revived him. And here it is. We got a lot of people dead in Israel. We don't even realize we're dead. We don't realize we are the walking dead. Well, who do you think Yahweh sent to wake our people up? Watch what the scripture says. 1 Kings 18. In the book of 1 Kings 18. And we're going to start reading at the 21st chapter. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long hold ye between two opinions? And I may add, I asked many of the leaders this today, many of our leaders, and I sent letters out to these leaders. And I visited their cities to discuss with them how long hold ye between two opinions. Why we got to have two opinions? In other words, let's go to the Creator's Word and let's see what thus says Yahweh. I've called these leaders personally and said, we have two opinions. Let's talk privately. And if you don't want to do that, let's talk publicly. But let's talk. And still today, no private or public concerning our differences. Now, there are some that came up, that stood up. And when we left the room, we seen eye to eye. But there's many who refuse to come to the table. They talking like they will. They talking bold as a lion. But it's fake and false. And it's not the truth. And watch what the scripture says. How long hold you between two opinions? If Yahweh be Elohim, follow him. But if the deity, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. And this is what happens when you put the challenge out to those who seem to do a lot of talking, but they don't do nothing to back up the talk. They'll tell the people everything. But then, when it comes to action, then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of Yahweh. But the deity prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks. Let them choose one bullock for themselves. Cut it in pieces, lay it on wood, put it on fire under. I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under and call you on the name of your deities, and I will call upon the name of Yahweh. And the Elohim that answered by fire, let him be Elohim. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And this is the spirit of Elijah. Elijah challenged the various false prophets. If you think Yahweh is a counterfeit, you think you know his laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments, you think you're teaching and telling the truth, well, let's stand and put your knowledge where your mouth is and stand before the people. And let's see if you're telling the truth, telling a lie. And of course, as y'all can see, there's nobody next to me. And it's not going to be. Unless Yahweh put them there. Because I've called. And I put, didn't even put the challenge out there. I answered it, though. No show. Just like the prophet Elijah. But I'm not Elijah. But who do you know that have challenged and beat down the false prophets even today? Where there is no question beyond a shadow of a doubt who Yahweh answered. And look what happened. And Elijah said unto the prophets of the deity, choose you one bullock for yourselves. Dress it first, for ye are many. Call on the name of your deities, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, dressed it, called on the name of the deity from morning even unto noon, saying, O deity, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. They leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them, cry loud, for he is a deity. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. And they cried aloud, cut themselves after the manner with knives, lances, till blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near to him. And he repaired the altar of Yahweh that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Yaakov, unto whom the word of Yah came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built the altar in the name of Yahweh, trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bullock in pieces, lay him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, pour it on a burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. They did it a second time. He said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water, soaked it wet. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Yahweh, Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, let it be known this day that thou art Elohim in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Yah. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art Yah Elohim, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. The fire of Yahweh fell, consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces And they said, Yahweh, he is Elohim. Yahweh, he is Elohim. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of the deity. Let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and slew them there. Now do you see the spirit of Elijah? Don't you see who we're speaking about now and what type of man this was? He challenged the false deities and made no mistake about it. He was victorious. And why? What was the purpose? What do the 37th verse say again? Hear me, O Yahweh. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art Yah Elohim, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Back to where? Back to Yahweh. What do you think Elijah the prophet was raised up to do? And how did he do it? He challenged the false prophets that are not sent by Yahweh. And he slew them. And what man do you know this day, in these last days, that was sent to turn our heart back, that Yahweh would not smite the earth with a curse? How can you wholeheartedly acknowledge Yahweh without acknowledging his words? And then how can you acknowledge his words without understanding the very signs that Yahweh will give us for the end? Furthermore, in the book of 2 Kings, the second chapter, so you can see how Yahweh do things. For the scripture says there is nothing new under the sun. And watch what it says. 2 Kings, 2 chapter, the 15th verse. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah do rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. See, in other words, you don't tell a man just by his actions. You got to know the spirit of a man. And when you see the spirit, then you'll know who you're dealing with. But if you don't know the spirit, and many of our people don't, how can you then know the man? People looking at the man, but they're not looking at the spirit of the man. And this, why many of our people don't even know who a prophet is today. They'll tell you all about the false prophets. But then as soon as you ask them about the true prophets of Yahweh, they don't know. And then some of them, in a slick kind of way, will name a name just to be
yeah, so-and-so might be a... Which further lets you know they do not know Yahweh's messenger, which means they will not even know the very signs that Yahweh would do with his messengers. And not only he had the spirit of Elijah, this Elisha, what do you think he asked for? And let me show you. In this second chapter of 2 Kings, watch what this says. The ninth verse. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion upon me. In other words, this prophet Elisha, when you seen him, you didn't just see Elisha, but you also seen Elijah, because he had a double portion. And when they seen the prophet Elisha, it was obvious. My goodness, he has the spirit of Elijah. And why? Because this Elisha, if you know Elisha, know his works. And he said, thou hast as a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And of course, he seen Elijah taken away. Tell you, this spirit was so strong because he had a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Let me show you how strong this spirit was in the book of 2 Kings, the 13th chapter, so you can see for yourself. And Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming end of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the scepter of Elisha. In other words, the prophet Elisha was already buried. And they cast a man in his scepter. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived on his feet. What kind of... I thought when you die, there's nothing. I thought when you die, the spirit is gone. I thought when you die, there's no thought. Your thoughts go away. Everything go away. But when this man, a dead man, the dead, the bones of a prophet, he revived. So it's not shocking and surprising to me, because I know this story. It's not a wonder. even in Elisha's death, he's still waking up people to this day. Three times as many people as all the various teachers put together. And he's dead. But yet, he's still reviving a whole lot of people. And not just reviving them, not just waking them up, but after they get a good dose of Elisha, they know beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's not even a question in their mind where their heart lies. And it's with Yahweh, no other. And they all denounce the New Testament and all the other various doctrines and books and religions and theologies. That have caused them to sin. Now, don't you see how the Father's heart is to the Son, and the Son's heart is to his Father? See, when your heart is with your Father, your true Father, your one Father, and yes, you only got one. And I want you to see this. Because when your heart is there, his heart is with you. Watch what it says in the book of Malachi. Today, many of our people's heart is not with the one Father. And it's only because they have not came. They have not been in the true presence of this prophet, watching, learning his word. Did not you hear the widow woman? She said, now I know that the word of Yahweh is in thy mouth. That's all you got to look for. In the book of Malachi, the second chapter, the 10th verse, have we not all one Father? Who do you think this Father is that Elijah is supposed to turn the Father's heart to the Son and the Son's heart to the Father? Have not one Elohim created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Why do we do such a thing? We should know the oneness of Elohim. Not only one creator, not only one Father, or one Father, one Elohim, who created us. Now let me show you. So you can know the oneness of the Most High. Watch what the Creator say. Because I don't want you to be tricked, bamboozled, and trapped by these false ambassadors of hell. And they're not going to tell you the truth. And they're not going to teach you what you're hearing today. In the book of Ezekiel, the 11th chapter, watch this. verse 19 and 20. And I will give them one heart. Because there's only one Father. There's only one Elohim that created us. So he's going to give us one heart. And I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of your flesh and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, keep my ordinances, and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim. This is the oneness of Yahweh. Watch what the Most High say. Watch this. Since we in Ezekiel, right before Ezekiel, I want to go to the law, the book of Numbers. Watch this. Numbers, the 15th chapter. Because not only one Father, one Elohim that created us, Numbers 15, you know, watch what it says. The 15th verse. Look what it says. One ordinance shall be both for you of the congregation and also for the stranger that's sojourning with you. An ordinance forever in your generations. As ye are, so shall the stranger be before Yahweh. One law, one manner shall be for you and for the stranger that's sojourning with you. You're not going to read this in Christianity. You're not going to read this in Islam. Where it's just one way, one manner, one Elohim, one law. You're not going to read that. Nor will you read what Yahweh has purposed, determined to do when he returns. This is why you must begin to learn and know and get your heart straight and get your heart returned back to the Most High. The Creator said, return unto me, and I shall return unto thee. And he told you how one must return. Just want you to see this. Jeremiah 23. I want you to see what Yahweh has purposed in the last days. In the end. So you will understand why this is so vitally important. The 16th verse of Jeremiah 23. Thus says Yahweh, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of Yahweh. Every vision that you're supposed to have when it comes to the last days, when it comes to the Creator, is not the vision out of the heart of man. This vision that you're supposed to have is what thus says Yahweh. And once they lay their vision out, then all you have to do is say, where is that in the scriptures? Let me see it, that I might do it. But the vision that Yahweh have for our people, they don't want to do. Yahweh say, Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather yourselves together, O nation not desired. That's what Yahweh's vision is, but that's what the leaders don't want to do. They don't want to gather themselves together. They refuse to gather themselves together. Watch what it further says. They say, still unto them that despise me. Yahweh have said, ye shall have peace. In other words, they prophesying to the people that they are the remnant. Where did Yahweh say that at? And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. In other words, telling people they going to be all right when the only reason they in trouble because they ain't all right. For who has stood in the counsel of Yahweh? This is the question you must ask yourself. For who have stood in the counsel of Yahweh and have perceived and heard his word? Who have marked his word and heard it? You heard it? You perceived it? You marked it? There's certain things that's supposed to happen if that thing is certain that you have done them. Watch what it says in the 19th verse. Behold, a whirlwind of Yahweh is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. See, that's what Yahweh is going to do. And when will he do it? Watch the 20th verse. The anger of Yahweh shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. I told you Yahweh got a heart. In the latter days, which means the last days, ye shall consider it perfectly. Things that I'm telling you, they're going to come to pass. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and have caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I Elohim at hand, says Yahweh, and not a Elohim afar off? In other words, Yahweh is letting us know it don't matter how far he is, he's still Elohim, and he can make things happen as if he's right there with you. Truly, you have stood in the counsel of Yahweh, and you heard his words, and you perceived it, and you marked it. Your life should be changing. In other words, the gossip should cease. It should stop. The scorning, the murmuring should cease. The lying, the swearing falsely, the hating your brother in your heart, all that should begin to cease. And truly, we know you're not perfect. But Yahweh is letting you know you better be perfect with him. And watch what Yahweh says. This is very important. And watch what he says. The 30th I got to finish reading this. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, says Yahweh? Do not I feel heaven and earth, says Yah? I've heard what the prophet said, that prophesied lies in my name, saying, I've dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesied lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. Cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor. As their fathers have forgotten my name for the deity. The prophet that have a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that have my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the shaft to the wheat, says Yahweh? Is not my word like as a fire, says Yahweh, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? That's Yahweh's words. No wonder people get mad and angry and upset when you speak to them the word of Yahweh. I'm asking people, why are you so mad? Why you hate me so much? I'm just speaking Yahweh's word. But this is what I want you to see. The 30th and the 31st verse. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, says Yahweh, that steal my words, everyone from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, says Yahweh, that use their tongues and say, he said. And we hear him today. Yahweh said this. Yahweh said that. And all you got to do is say, show me where Yahweh said that. Show me. That's how simple it is. Show me. Furthermore, in the book of Jeremiah 30, because we're talking about the end of time, we're talking about the last days. And I'm showing you the type of prophets you will see in the last day, especially if they're from Yahweh. Here it is. People tell you there's no prophets today, and the prophet Elijah was supposed to return at this time. What you mean ain't no prophet? But you wouldn't know him if you seen him, because you don't even know the spirit of the prophet. Here in the book of Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, once again, Yahweh let us know something. Very important. In the 23rd verse. Behold, the whirlwind of Yahweh goeth forth with fury. A continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of Yahweh shall not return until he have done it, until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days, ye shall consider it. So there's a lot of things you should be considering. Yahweh has said, our people do not consider their latter end. They don't consider the day when it comes to an end. Because if they did, they would not call the evening the beginning of the day. They would know that's the end of the day. They don't consider the week end, which is the Sabbath day. And since they don't consider it, what are they missing? Yahweh said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But they don't consider the end. And that's the end of the week. To this day, nobody talk about Yahweh Sabbath years. And watch what the Creator said in the book of Deuteronomy 31, just so you can see this. Why it's so important to consider your end. And what are we talking about? The reflections of the end. And watch what it says in Deuteronomy 31, verse 9. And Moshe wrote this law, delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of Yahweh, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moshe commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, have you considered this? In the solemnity of the year release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel's come to appear before Yah, thy Elohim, in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. That is supposed to be done at the end of every 7 years. Furthermore, in the book of Deuteronomy 15, have you considered this? Since the scripture lets us know that better is the end of the thing than the beginning. Better it is to go to the house of mourning than the house of mirth. Better is one death than one birth. Watch what it says in Deuteronomy 15, the very first verse. At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth out unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact of it his neighbor or his brother, because it is called Yahweh's release. Have you considered that? These are the things that you should be reflecting on. And not just these things. As I show our beloved brothers before and sisters, here it is, when in, and nobody is talking about the things that we're talking about now. Here it is, Elijah. The prophet Elijah is supposed to return. But who's talking about that? Who is this Elijah? They don't know. That's why you don't. That's why you hear silence. But not only that, let me show you another place that you will hear silence. And you might ask yourself, well, how do you hear silence when you don't hear nothing? Watch what it says. In the book of Hosea, the third chapter, the fourth and fifth verse, see if you hear this. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, without a prince, without a sacrifice, without an image, without an ephod, and without a terebinth. And after they abide all these days without that, shall the children of Israel return and see Yahweh their Elohim and David Christ, not the son of David, not Prince Michael, not Muhammad, but David their king, and shall fear Yahweh and his goodness in the latter days. And what are the latter days? The last days. And did Yahweh lie? No, Yahweh didn't lie. And let me show you, Yahweh didn't lie, in the book of Ezekiel 34. Are you reflecting on this in the last days? And then you might ask yourself, well, who is this David? Since Yahweh says seek him and seek David, not the son of David, not his cousin, not his nephew, but David. And watch what it says, Ezekiel 34. Verse 23. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. This is why you can't get this confused, brothers and sisters, because there's only one shepherd. And let's see who thus says Yahweh. Yahweh already told you to seek him and David. Now, who is this one shepherd? And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And not only their shepherd, watch what it says. I, Yahweh, will be their Elohim, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, Yahweh, have spoken it. Now, why would you speak anything else after Yahweh said he spoke it? What kind of mind and what kind of heart do we have that we would say something opposite of what Yahweh spoke? What kind of voodoo teaching are we believing that we would say something other than what Yahweh himself said he spoke? Are you reflecting on this in the last days? And what about this in Ezekiel 37? And watch what it says. The 21st verse. And say unto them, thus says Yah Elohim, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen. And where are we today? Amongst the heathen. Whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side, bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation. And why? Because there's only one law. Why? Because there's only one manner. Why? Because there's only one ordinance. Why? Because there's only one Father. Why? Because only one Elohim created us. So now I can understand. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. And I may add, Yahweh has already let it be known that he spoke out of his mouth that is only one shepherd. And not only is it just one shepherd, watch what this says. I will make the one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all. And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms anymore at all. neither shall they defile themselves anymore with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people. I will be their Elohim. And watch who this king going to be. And David, my servant, shall be king over them. And they all shall have one shepherd. And as David, they shall also walk in my judgments, observe my statutes, and do them. Here it is, one king, one shepherd, one way, one ordinance, one law, one manner, one heart, one father, one Elohim who created us all. Who did you get this message from? Who's teaching these things? Especially since these things that we are hearing supposed to be the reflection of the end of time. What else should you be thinking about? What else should you be talking about? And watch out. That ain't it. Psalms 89. Let us turn there. Are you reflecting on this? 19th verse. Then thou spakest in vision to thy holy one, still dealing with one, and says, I have laid upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David, my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him. My goodness, brothers and sisters. How many times he got to say David? We get it, Yahweh. It's David. We hear you, Yahweh. It's David. We reading it, Yahweh. It's David. Spoke it, Yahweh. It's David. So why would anybody speak something else? Unless they're trying to deceive you. But why isn't they speaking this, especially today? When in this time, in this end of time, this is the very thing that Yahweh has prophesied to happen. Watch what it says in the book of Jeremiah 30. Turn there. And ask yourself, who is reflecting on this? The fourth verse, Jeremiah 30. And these are the words that Yahweh spake concerning Israel and concerning Yehuda. For thus says Yah, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, not of peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man do travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Yaakov's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it. Everybody talking about Yaakov's trouble. But let me read to you what they're not talking about, which is the very next two verses. For it shall come to pass in that day, says Yahweh of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck and will burst thy bonds. And strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve Yahweh, their Elohim, and Haile Selassie. No, Christ. No. Prince Michael. No. Muhammad. No. But they shall serve Yahweh, their Elohim, and David, their king, whom I will raise up unto them. And here it is. Nobody is even looking, seeking, watching, looking for this David. Where is he? Who is he? Why don't you know him? Yahweh said he will do nothing but what he first revealed unto his servants, the prophets. And if you know the spirit of David, then you will know who this David is. I will say this about David. There is a difference between the old David and the new David. And it's only the only difference I've seen. Only seen one difference. According to the scriptures. Let me see if I can find it real quick. In the book of Kings. And no, it is First Kings. But let me see if I see the verse real quick. If not, and let me tell you what it says. I don't see the exact verse. And what it actually says, David told Solomon that I had thought to build a house for Yahweh. But Yahweh didn't allow me to do it because I was a man of war and shed much blood. And he acknowledged that his son would do this very thing. And Yahweh told David he had shed much blood because he was a man of war. Well, the David that is to return is just the opposite. Watch what it says about the return of this David. In the book of Isaiah, that's the only difference. Other than the fact that Yahweh said he was going to allow 7 different spirits rest upon this man. But watch what it says in Isaiah, the 9th chapter. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty Elohim, the Everlasting Father. And watch what it says, the Prince of Peace. Here, this man is not bringing war as he did when he was a young man, when he lived and was taken up to Yahweh. Yahweh saying this man will be called the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will perform this. So here is a man who was a man of war, but now come the Prince of Peace. And let me tell you, even though he a Prince of Peace, still will have a weapon of war. And let me show you the weapon that Yahweh will arm him with. For the scripture says, wisdom is better than weapons of war. And watch what it says in the book of Isaiah, the 11th chapter. The very first verse. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And who is that? David. And the spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him. Watch what it says. The spirit of wisdom and understanding. The spirit of counsel and might. The spirit of knowledge and of the fear of Yahweh. And shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of Yah. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes. Neither shall he reprove to the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reign. This is the type of man that you will see if you're blessed. The wicked don't see nothing. The wicked won't do nothing. Last scripture in the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter. So you can see what I'm saying about the wicked is true. Daniel, the 12th chapter, and watch what it says. Third verse. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. And brothers and sisters, if you don't know when the time of the end, I feel sorry. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And that's where we are today. But watch the 10th verse, or 9th and 10th verse, or the 8th through the 10th verse. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel. For the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But the wise shall understand. And if you understand anything that I'm saying today, then you know who you are. So until tomorrow, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom. Yeah.
To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trust in you, he always kept me whole. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. But shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh Elohim of my salvation. I'm staying down impatient as a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth, and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahweh who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging Yah for mercy and his love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy. Worthy.
Captivity is taking hold upon me. Put frighten me.